We have another wonderful opportunity to be here this evening, gathered together to sing songs of praise unto God, to be able to open His Word, and to read and study about the promises of God. Our lives are filled with a number of things by which we operate. Some of these things are immutable facts. We see the light outside, we know that the sun is shining. Some are assumptions. The assumption is that our car will start and we'll be able to make it to services. Or the assumption that if we do our job, we will receive our paychecks. Some are hopes. We hope our good health continues. We hope our jobs continue, especially during such difficult times as we are facing. And some are promises. Promises come from various sources. They come from our bosses, our co-workers, our parents, our children, our friends, and most importantly, we have the promises of God. As we look at promises and realize that they come from different sources, we must also understand that there are different types of promises. We have the promises of men. We know, many of us by experience, that some of these can be empty promises. At the present time, we think of maybe the politicians and the empty promises that they make so that they might be elected into office, so that they might serve the people. They could be well-intended but unfulfilled promises. About 12 years ago, when we had our house built, I decided, along with the builder, that it's best just to leave the basement done and not have it finished in a couple of years. That was 12 years ago. It's well on its way. Well-intended but unfulfilled promise. They also include the promises of God. The differences between the promises of God and the promises of men are that the promises of God are always fulfilled, never empty. And some of these promises of God are unconditional, and others are conditional. As we turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, we must understand that all of the promises of God are exceeding great and precious promises. These are those that He has given us so that we might know His will, so that we might know those things that He has provided for us. Indeed, in the verse, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We must also consider that the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 tells us this. As we contrast for just a moment the promises of men and the promises of God, we can see that sometimes men make promises for the sake of making promises. Or they make promises so that they can swing a deal their way. Some of them having no intention whatsoever to fulfill those promises. But the promises of God are always fulfilled. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 tells us, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And the promise of God that is being spoken of there was the coming of the Christ, providing the means whereby man could be saved. While we contemplate the promises of God, we must understand that there are some things that God has not promised. What are these? Well, one thing that we need to be aware of today, God has not promised to accept excuses. Man has a problem today. They'll make excuses. We all do it, whether we realize it or not. But God has not promised to accept excuses. In Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24, we see a great wedding feast being provided. And we see the results when those people are going out and inviting others to the wedding feast. And they began to make excuse. And as we read the entire passage, we will see what happens at the end. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. I need to stop right here. I'm not pointing out to anybody that this last excuse is any more pertinent to our day than any others, but it's one that hits home. Now, we continue the reading of this particular story that was given to make a specific point. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done that thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said to his servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. The focus, the point is, look at verse 24. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Why? Because they made excuse. Those today who have been introduced into the kingdom, or have been introduced to the kingdom, have been introduced to the gospel and make excuses and thereby cannot acceptably serve God, need to understand that they'll have the same fate. None of those which were bidden shall taste of my supper. As we digest this reading, we need to understand and realize that this is foretelling of a situation which existed, in which the Jews, when it was announced that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, is the Son of God, and that he had come and he had given himself and died on Calvary's cross, they began to make excuse. They did not want to be a part of that kingdom because it was not the type of kingdom they were looking for. Understand, they shall not taste of my supper. So he has not promised to accept excuses. God has not promised us another day to live. You know where I'm going here, James chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. We know that sermons have been preached, books have been written, many discourses have been had upon this particular passage. Go ye now that say, or ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue therein a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. We opened our year talking about planning for the new year, looking ahead into the new year, and understanding that it is not wrong to plan, to make preparations, to make plans, but it's wrong to plan without God. The latter part of this tells us that we should ask, if it's the Lord's will, we will do such and such. We should have the intention of going out into this community and reaching the lost souls that are in this community, finding those brethren who, for whatever reason, have made excuse in the past and are no longer associated with the Lord's body, that are erring Christians, and bring them back into the fold. But we don't know how long we have. It would be great if we could say, by this time next year, we're going to see 48 more people in this building. But we don't know how long our lives will last. So God has not promised us another day to live. God has not promised to save man outside of the church. Oh, how many times people have said, as you turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, how many times have people said, the Lord saved me and I know I'm saved? And those people don't think it's necessary to be a part of the body of Christ. They want to be, and they say they are, but not according to what God has put forth. Ephesians 5:23 tells us, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. There is no other way by which a man can be saved. And so God has not made that promise. God has not promised another chance after death. This particular misconception is a misapplication of the new heavens and the new earth in Revelation chapter 21. But in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, we see that God's grace has appeared to everyone. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. There are those that put forth the idea that the Lord will come back and he will give us another chance on this earth to undo the mistakes or to correct the mistakes. That's just simply not so. The Bible doesn't teach that. However, he has given us opportunity to correct our mistakes and to be accepted as we contact the blood of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, the latter part of that particular passage says, behold, now is the day of salvation. If you connect that with James, we don't know how long we're going to live. Salvation is now. Now is the time. This is when we should apply it. There will be no other chance after death. And God has not promised to hear the sinner's prayer. John 9:31 gives us a glimpse into that idea. And there will be those that will very quickly point out that John chapter 9 and verse 31 was prior to Acts chapter 2. I agree with them wholeheartedly. But this is a principle eternal. In other words, it is something that has been with God as long as he has been dealing with men. John 9:31, now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. And so, those who find themselves mired in sin and decide at the last minute they're going to say a prayer, and another sermon later on will talk about prayer, they often offer it up to Jesus or somebody else. But God has not promised to hear or answer the sinner's prayer. There are also unconditional promises from God. No more flood on the earth to destroy it. We all know the story of Noah. We know how it transpired. We know that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he told Noah, go and go up on this mountain and build this ark. And it's going to be a large ark. You build it this way. You build it with this kind of wood. You pitch it within, without. You make rooms in it. And for 120 years, while the ark was preparing, while people thought this crazy man was up on a mountain building this ark, God was preparing for that great deluge, that flood which would destroy from earth all of mankind except those on the ark. Following that, according to Genesis chapter 9, verses 15 and 16, he made the solemn promise that he would no more do that. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature and all flesh that is on the earth. An unconditional promise from God. I will not do this again. Another unconditional promise that will affect every one of us is death. Physical death. Those of us who might possibly live until the trumpet sounds and the Lord's return may not taste death as those who have preceded us, but we will be changed. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 tells us, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that the judgment." This is an unconditional promise of God. Along with that, according to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, we see the destruction of the world and judgment. This is unconditional promise of God. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works therein shall be burned up." So we see these promises from God that will be fulfilled, some of which are unconditional. But what are the conditional promises of God? How about the forgiveness of sins? This is a promise from God. It's found in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." It would mean nothing different were it to have read, "He that believeth and is baptized shall have his sins remitted," or "shall have his soul washed clean." The latter part of that, "but he that believeth not shall be damned." A conditional promise. That promise is based upon the condition that penitent believer is baptized for the remission of sins. The forgiveness of sins of the erring Christian is another. A passage that we use regularly. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Friends, do we realize and understand that if we do not repent and if we do not pray as Christians, we should not expect forgiveness? That's the condition God placed on it. And finally, in the category of conditional promises, to never see the second death. John chapter 8 and verse 51. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." What was Jesus saying? You're not going to die? He was saying you have no need to experience the second death. If you experience that second death, you will do so for eternity, because there are no second chances. "If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. If you love me, keep my commandments." It's the same thing. We must believe the promises of God. We must understand what God has told us, what he has promised us, what he has provided for us. What does this require? This requires faith. What is faith? It's belief. It's a system of belief. How do we have faith? "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." If you turn to Hebrews chapter 11, you can see faith. The entire chapter is devoted to faith. In fact, those that are mentioned in the 11th chapter of Hebrews are often referred to as being in the honor roll of the faithful. Why? Because the things that they did showed that they were faithful. We have mention of the elders of Israel. We have the mention of Abel, of Enoch, of Noah, of Abraham, of Sarah, of Isaac, of Jacob, of Joseph, of Moses, of Rahab. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 gives us insight as to the many that could be placed into this category. "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, or in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. They did all these things. Why? Because they believed, because they had faith. We often look at our lives and we look at the promises that are made to us. And we question those promises. I say it's a valid thing to question the promises of man. Man's promises will not stand up. But the promises of God will always stand. And we can stand on those promises. But God is faithful. We have seen tonight what kind of promises God has made. We've seen that there are unconditional promises. But we've seen also that there are conditional promises. And if we want to receive the reward stated in association with the promise, we have to do that which God would have us do. We must also see that God expects us to be faithful. Obedient faith is what is required in order for us to receive what God has promised. Is it easy? No, this life is not easy. Is serving God easy? No. We're going to make mistakes because we're human. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. We're going to find times in our lives when we don't think our faith can buoy us up. Because, friends, that's human nature. But if you can count on one thing, it's this. The promises of God will never fail. What does God promise in regard to salvation? That if we do the things that He has put forth in His Word, that we shall be saved. What are those things? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14 that we are to hear the Word of God. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The preacher is to be the one who is to see to it that all hear. Everybody in here that is a child of God, whether you know it or not, are a preacher. Carry the word. Make sure other people hear it. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that we must believe. But without faith, it is impossible. Again, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 tells us that we must repent. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Romans 10, 9 and 10, to confess. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then, if we believe the promises of God, we will be baptized. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said unto them when they asked the question, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Of course, as we have already alluded to the fact that the erring Christian is to repent and pray. What about you tonight? You are now aware of the promises of God. As you have become aware of the promises of God, do you know how they relate to you? If you're not a child of God, you need to understand that you're lost. And God has provided promises that those who do His will receive His rest. What about if you've allowed sin to separate between you and God? Then you need to understand that there is also a way for you. That is to repent and pray. Tonight, as we open our invitation, our song for invitation, tonight as we open our song books and prepare to sing the invitation song, I ask you, are you aware of the promises of God? Would you like to be part of God's family? Or would you like to be reinstated into God's family? Tonight, if this is your need, we stand ready to assist you. Let us stand together and sing.